today as we continue this series through the Spirit, that meeting of the Spirit. Today's one is called The Spirit Empowers. I wonder, have you ever been in the presence of someone who just lights up the room? Who, when they enter the room, you don't need to be facing the door where they've come in. You just know they're there. You can sense it. You can feel it. And every time they speak, everyone else stops their conversations and turns and wants to listen to that person. Something about them makes it different. Ever recognize that? This is what it says in the book that we're working through at the beginning. The small man was almost hidden by the pulpit. His voice was soft. When he began to speak, very few in the audience listened with much interest. Within 5 minutes, however, every eye was riveted on the speaker. Everyone strained to hear his words. The man had spent years languishing in the prison camps of China for one crime: faith in Jesus Christ. After Harry Lee spoke, I asked him one question. How did you survive such abuse and pain? His answer was immediate. Whatever I needed for each hour and each crisis, the Holy Spirit provided. Never any excess, never any lack. The Holy Spirit provided. I'm sure many of us here today will have recognized the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives at different, guiding us and supporting us. Have you ever felt the power of the Holy Spirit guide you with speech in situations that you didn't expect to be in? When I was thinking about this, I thought of two examples. I think I've used these before, but I'll repeat them just in case you've forgotten them. I was on a mission team in a church in Norfolk, and as part of the mission team was to get to know the church fellowship. And myself and another lady ended up at the end of one of the sessions speaking with a gentleman probably in his mid-60s, so not too really. He wanted reassurance that he was doing the right thing in the way that he was bringing up his grandson. I can't remember the circumstances around why he was bringing up his grandson in the way, it doesn't matter. But he wanted reassurance that he was doing the correct way, guiding his grandson in the correct way, on the right paths of life. Myself and this other lady, we confirmed that what he was doing was right. And after we'd finished our conversation, had a time of prayer, he went on his way. This lady and myself both sat there and suddenly thought, what happened? We were only in our early 40s then, both of us. Both of us had young families. But then we hadn't had any grandchildren. We had no idea what was involved and bringing up grandchildren. I still haven't got any idea either, but never mind. It's great fun. But what we both realised was that God had used us through the power of the Holy Spirit. He gave us the words that that particular gentleman needed to hear at that time. We did hear a report back later on from the church that that particular gentleman received great comfort from the time that we happened to spend with him, and it helped him to continue on his role. Second occasion was quite a few years ago in a different church. The churches in the Peterborough area had an event over a weekend where they brought in a team of clowns to come round different churches. We had an event on the Sunday afternoon, I think it was a Pentecost, but I'm not 100% on that, and we were in Cathedral Square. It's before they put the fountains in, when you had the benches around the planters there. And the churches in the area were asked to send representatives just to be in the Cathedral Square, just to be around, to pray for what was going on, and if necessary, speak to people. I thought, yeah, this is a good idea. So I went down, sat around on the benches out. I'm quite happy sitting around just watching what was going on, watching the clowns doing their thing. They were messing around, talking to people, messing around, talking to people. And then I realised that there was a gentleman sat next to me. And he said to me, "That's interesting, isn't it? What's going on?" And for a change, I couldn't find any words. My mind went totally blank. Now, mind blank is quite often happens. To not find the words to speak, I found very hard. So I thought, that's all right, I'll get one of the team to come across and speak to them. And every time I looked at one of the team, they all went the other way, didn't they? And the man kept on. For about 5 minutes, he kept on trying to get me into conversation. Nothing came out of my mouth. Now, many people might have said that was a blessing. I didn't feel that at the time. Eventually, the man moved away. He obviously gave up on me and thought, well, there's a waste of space. In the evening, the Sunday evening, we had a celebration event at one of the churches, and I went to. And the leader of the team mentioned that he had a half-hour conversation with a gentleman who he described was a gentleman that was sat next to me. I learned a very, very important lesson that day, and I can actually still remember it, that sometimes we are not the right person to deal with that situation. For whatever reason, I wasn't the right person to answer that man's questions. So God shut me up. God doesn't always cause us to speak. He sometimes causes us to be quiet because of somebody else that's better equipped to say and deal with that situation. Yes, I was very frustrated when I went home from the afternoon event. When I came home from the evening event, I rejoiced because others had been used. And this is where we get to in this passage from Acts today, isn't it? We find Luke detailing the situation for the early growing Christian church. And it's one of those situations that could have been a game changer. And divide and split the church caused a great divide. The church is probably in its first 2-3 years since the death and resurrection of Jesus, since the pouring out of the Holy Spirit of Pentecost. The disciples had received the Holy Spirit. They were going around the area preaching, teaching, healing. And their people are being changed and converted to God. Many different people were being used, not just the 12, not just the 12 of the apostles, many people. And in this section, we have two groups of people, the Hellenistic Jews, I think I've pronounced that correctly, and the Hebraic Jews. What is the difference, you are probably wondering? And to be honest with you, so did I when I read the passage. So I looked up in some commentaries. And basically, these are two groups of people who come from different backgrounds and speak different languages. In the simplest explanation I found, the Hellenistic Jews spoke Greek and were more likely to have been born outside the Holy Land. And Hebraic Jews spoke Aramaic or Hebrew and preserved the Jewish culture and custom. That's about all it says, and Sheila's nodding, so I must be right. It doesn't appear, other than that, other than their background and their language, there was any difference. They came together to worship God. They came to share their wealth and their belongings with those around them, and the church was helped out. And the disciples here could get, have been drawn into this wonderful dispute where you've got one group saying, my group are not being treated fairly. How unusual to hear that. The groups of people were sticking with their own type, not mixing too much, it would appear. And the Hellenistic Jews complained that their widows were being overlooked with the distribution of food. Why is that important? Well, in this time, when a lady was left without her husband, it was down to the family and then the church to support them and help them look after themselves. You remember at this time, many girls were married very young, possibly in their early teen years, and quite often to older gentlemen. So it was not unusual for ladies to be widowed at what some might say were still in their prime of life. But they were relying on people on the church to distribute the food. But it would appear that there was this uneven distribution. So the 12 disciples come together to discuss the situation. They realize a very important thing, that if they spent a lot of time distributing food, waiting tables, whatever you want to call it, they would not have time to do their primary role of preaching, teaching, and healing. So what do? They must have prayed. I feel they must have prayed about this situation. They followed Jesus' example. It's not recorded. And then the Spirit uses them, and it gathers the leaders of the two groups together. And it says to them, gather 7 men. Remember, they would have only used in those days because that was their culture. Gather 7 men among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. So not just anyone, somebody that is respected, liked, and is known to be of God. And these people will have the responsibility for overseeing the fair distribution of food, and then we can carry on with the preaching and teaching. If you look at verses 5 and 6, you find that the response from the group's leaders was pleasing. They went about and found the 7 men, and they're listed there. But only 2 of these men actually get mentioned later on in the Bible. 5 of them are just names, and that's all we know. Stephen, who went on to work hard for God in the next few verses, if you read on through that chapter and the next chapter. But then some people didn't like what he said and how he spoke. And various people started a false campaign against him. And when Stephen is before the Sanhedrin council, it is reported that his face was like an angel. Go on through to chapter 7. You'll find that because Stephen stuck to his faith, he is stoned to death. And as he is stoned to death, he looks up to heaven and asks God to receive his spirit. He says in 7 verse 56, look, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. He knew where he was going. And also further on in Acts in chapter 8, Philip is mentioned, where he helps an Ethiopian understand the Bible, and then the Ethiopian is baptized, and as soon as that happens, takes Philip away. And as far as I can establish, we don't hear from Philip again. Coming back to this situation, once the 7 men have been chosen, apostles do 2 very important things that we still carry on when we put people into jobs these days. They prayed for them and with them, and then they laid their hands on them, which is often done in commissioning services. And God bless that work. The number of disciples, believers in God, increased rapidly. That is just one little bit in Acts of the Spirit enabling work to happen. That is the power of the Holy Spirit. That was 2,000 years ago, and it is still happening today. That same Holy Spirit is still empowering people today, all around the world. He empowers us, each one of us, daily, to live our lives the way that God wants us to show His love, to show His support, to show His care, and also to teach. We have a wonderful knowledge. We know God. We know the power of the Holy Spirit. And as we've looked at and will continue to look at through this series, the Holy Spirit affects each person differently and will use us in different ways, because we all have different gifts. And God will change the gifts He wants us to use as we go through life, through our experiences. Yes, it's wonderful to look to certain people and think, oh, they're brilliant, they're wonderful, I wish I could be like that. It's not always a good thing, because we're different, but we're the same. God has a different mission for each one of us. God will empower each one of us to do that mission. The only question is, are we prepared to be used by God? Are we prepared to let the power of the Holy Spirit use us in ways that we don't expect? I didn't expect all those years ago to be shut up in Cathedral Square and not find the words to speak. I didn't expect at the age of the early 40s to be talking with someone about how to bring up their grandson. But God used me, and He's used me in many different situations. You can probably all think of different situations where God has used you, where He's put you in a place that you need to be, where He's given you words that you need to say. That is God empowering you through the power of the Holy Spirit. God still wants to empower each one of us. Will you let Him? That's your choice. You think about it. Let's pray.